Well, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to Crossroads and on this Labor Day weekend. And Labor Day weekend is usually a time when people make their final plans for the summer. And so many people call in or text and say, hey, could you pray for me? I'm traveling and I'm thinking about implementing a souvenirs tax on those prayer requests because I get so many of them. And especially this weekend because the weather is inclement up and down the coast. But we certainly pray for folks who are in harm's way potentially with this tropical storm, hurricane, then back to tropical storm. But of course, if you live in any of those zones that are considered to be in harm's way, obviously, keep us posted and let us know because as your church family, we want to be here for you in the event of any needs. And so keep us posted with that. But I want to invite you to take out your teaching outlines as we are actually wrapping up this series that we've been going through this summer titled Rep My Faith. And it is certainly God's plan and God's will for our life that we would represent our faith in this world. And there are specific ways that we do that. It's the first thing that we need to understand is that first and foremost is that this is not a suggestion, that God has commanded you and I, God has willed you and I to be his representative. The theme verse for this series, we actually went through the passage last week, is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, where it says that we are Christ's ambassadors. And that word ambassador means to be a representative, that an ambassador would represent the king's wishes when he was going to a foreign land. And as we know, our citizenship is in heaven, our home is in heaven, and God has called you and I to represent his plans and his purposes here on this earth. And so that is certainly how we're to think. Now, in this world, there are specific ways that we do that. Now, as we look about the news and as we look about society, we could see that there is a great deal of hopelessness that's around. Wouldn't you say the world is more hopeless today than it has ever been? Certainly. And so in a hopeless world, we best represent Christ, and you might want to write this down, we best represent Christ in a hopeless world by having hope. That God has called us to be people of hope. People that have a hope, not just in our finances, not just in the mediocrity of life or in our possessions, but that we have a living hope, the Bible says. We have a hope that's beyond this world, a hope that we have a home in heaven, a hope of the promises of God, a hope in the peace of God. That is the hope that we are actually to model and to share. Now, that does two things. First of all, for our own life, that stabilizes us, and we need that type of hope. But it also helps best represent the faith that we hold dear to our hearts. When we are people of hope, it serves as a tremendous encouragement because by nature, people are negative. Even after folks might have things go their way and they might have affluence in life and they might have notoriety or influence, at our core, it just seems part of the sinful nature is to be negative, is to have a negative outlook on things. Even if we have a lot or we have a little, it doesn't matter. And so hope is a tremendous witness that we can have. Now, obviously, there are people who have false senses of hope, and they have hope that's not anchored in what is right. But God gives us this great message from Scripture that we have a hope that's anchored down. That's Jesus Christ, ultimately. And so we could certainly pass that on. Now, when we think about hope, I want to direct your attention then to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to look at a few verses there in 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 13 and then going down to verse 17 this morning. And so as you find your place there in your notes and in the Scripture, the Apostle Peter, who wrote this epistle, and as well as the next epistle, 2 Peter, encourages in this particular book, encourages his audience, no doubt, on Christian living, on conduct, on how we're to treat one another. As we come to this particular section of chapter 3, Peter's going to encourage his listeners about how to endure things like persecution and how to model the faith and how ultimately to be a person of hope. Because again, one of the best ways you can model your faith and you could grow in your own faith, no matter where you are, is by being a person of hope. So starting off in verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 3, this is what the great apostle writes. He says, "Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good?" Verse 14, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, verse 15, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. Now, we'll put a marker there and we'll return in just a moment. But starting off here in verse 13, he's talking about people who is going to look out to harm somebody if they're doing the right thing. Most sensible people, even people who oppose Christianity, if those people who are believing in Christ are doing good and contributing to the society, most normal people will leave them alone because they are serving as somebody who is benefiting the community. But then there are those evil people that are around who will rival anybody. But Peter is saying, for the most part, strive to be good, strive to do what is good, to be zealous for what is good. To be zealous means to have a concentration. It means to have a focus. It means to have a purpose in doing good, to be a person of goodness ultimately. He goes on to say, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake. Now, this suffering that he's alluding to has to do with persecution. There are those that will even persecute those who are doing good. We see that more around the world, of course, than so in America. But even if you are challenged for doing good, for challenged for making the right decisions, honorable decisions at work, challenged for doing the right things in your home or in your family, there's always going to be people who try to tell you to cut corners, and you could get away with this, and you could get away with that, but you don't want to buy any of that, because that's just you and I, just what we're doing is we're settling at that point. And in this particular case, it's talking about persecution, and you're going to suffer for righteousness' sake. But Peter promises you will be blessed. Now, what does that mean? Now, people have interpreted this to mean all types of things. Are you going to be blessed? You're going to get a yacht if you do the right thing. Yeah, there are some people that teach that. I heard somebody talk about that. You know, you do the right thing and get the car of your dreams, okay? That's ridiculous, okay? It's not necessarily talking about physical prosperity. There's other portions of Scripture that talk about how God will protect you and be your strength. That's the blessing. Peter talks about that later on in the same book. John talks about how God will strengthen you even after you've been imprisoned by Satan's lies. As you stand the test and you don't give up, God will strengthen you. James talked about consider it all joy, pure joy when you go through various trials. Talked about asking for wisdom if you lack it. Those are the real blessings that God wants to give. They're better than material and they're better than money. Those are the blessings. That's how God wants to bless us when we stay the course and we don't sell out. Whether we are being persecuted for our faith or whether we're being challenged on our morals and our character, this is what God wants us to do. And then it says, have no fear, as we just read. This is an allusion from Isaiah chapter 8, where the historical significance is that King Ahaz, the king of Judah, was threatened by the Assyrians. And so what he did, his first thought was, you know what, let me make an alliance with them. And Isaiah warned against that and said, well, that's not what God's best is. That's not God's will. And God will protect you. You need to walk that back, that which you're thinking. And so it's that promise that's all throughout the Scripture, anchored here in the Old Testament and then brought forth here in 1 Peter, that we're not to be troubled by all these things that come our way. And so have no fear. And here is the heart here. In your hearts, honor Christ as the Lord. Now, we're going to break into the rest of verse 15 in the second point, but jumping to verse 16 here, having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, you're going to be slandered for doing the right thing, in other words, those who rival your good behavior in Christ, they may be put to shame. Because nobody's going to be able to pin criticism on you because you are actively seeking good behavior. You're actively seeking to do the right thing. And the only person who's going to be shamed is the person who's looking to criticize you because they can't hang anything on you because you are this person of hope and you're living your life in such a way that their slander is just that. There's no truth or merit to it. Reminds me of Daniel. Remember Daniel? They tried to pin something on his character. 70 years of leadership in government. Imagine that. There's people who can't go 70 seconds in government today without somebody being able to pin something on them. 70 years in leadership, and nobody can pin anything on him other than that he prayed 3 times a day. We need to understand that there is a character there that God is looking for, and that is what Peter's driving at. That even if you're slandered, even if you're persecuted, keep doing good because ultimately what's most important is what? Your character. Having a good conscience. which again is speaks of what's in, not necessarily outward, but inward. And so then those that rival your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Verse 17, for it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. When we do the wrong thing, we suffer with regret, we suffer with guilt, and we suffer with anguish. I should have did this, and I should have did that. We've played the should have games before, many times before. God doesn't want you to get caught up in that. Instead of focusing on that, write this first principle down. If you're going to be a person of hope, and you're going to walk with the confidence that God wants you to have in this life, write this down. Concentrate on having an honorable character. Your character is very important to your overall spiritual health and your witness as a Christian. Your character is without question the platform on which you live. The great D.L. Moody, the great evangelist from Chicago, once said, if I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself. You know, you could spend your whole life trying to build your reputation. And what it comes down to is ultimately the care of your habit. And so Peter is driving at that here. Because in just a moment, he's going to talk about be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. Well, you can't give an answer for that hope if your character is not where it needs to be. Nobody's ever going to believe what you're saying if your character isn't right with God. Nobody's going to want to hear what you and I are saying. And more so, our prayers are just going to bounce off the ceiling if we're praying one way, but we're living a totally different way. No matter where you are in your journey with Christ, the wisest thing you could do is to take care of your character. Your character in Christ is so important to your relationship with God and how you relate to others. Now, when you think about your character ultimately validates who you are. And so let's talk about validating our character then. Based on what Peter just mentioned and what we need to concentrate on, there are four areas that I like to also think of habits for us to commit to, that these are areas that we can focus on that will help our character. First, look at the area of integrity in your notes. Integrity. A great understanding of integrity is my public and private life the same. I'm not two different people. This is who I am. See, when we live that way, it gives off an aroma of genuineness, of transparency. And so there's that integrity. When I'm doing good and when I'm having and seeking to have a good behavior, well, I'm walking in integrity. Proverbs 10:9 says this, people with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. I think that's a great understanding there. You know, you ever catch yourself when you put on an outfit that you really like? I saw some of you walk in here today from the top. Maybe you put on one of your favorite outfits. You know, you got a little strut to yourself when you're walking around. You know, tomorrow's Monday, you're going to go to work. You know, you got that shirt cleaned that was in the hamper. You finally took care of it. There's going to be a little extra oomph in your step. There's a confidence because of how you're dressed. It's just how it is. I think the same thing is true spiritually. When we put on integrity, we walked securely. But the same thing is true if we're not. If you know, just again, if you have, you know, you ever have a stain on your shirt, the whole day you're bothered by it. I think people are looking at that stain. It's nobody sees it, but you think everybody sees it. Or if your pants are wrinkled or your blouse or something like that, you think the whole world cares about your outfit. And you're just subconscious about that. You might even make an excuse for, yeah, this thing dripped out of nowhere, you know, and no one even asked you about it. And that's just how we are. Well, the same thing is true in integrity. When we're not doing the right thing, it shows. And we, just by our own guilty hearts, we actually expose ourselves. The Bible also says in Proverbs, truth stands the test of time, but lies is soon exposed. You want to be a person of integrity. It's so important. It's without question. Somebody once said it this way, integrity means you have more in the warehouse than you do in the showroom. You know, a lot of people want to, they're very showy. Social media is the age of that. People want to show all the goodness that, how great thou art, basically, could be the hymn as well on Facebook, on social media. And there's nothing wrong with that and updating and I do this and I do that. But some people love to advertise how great they are. And it's not to be that way. God wants us to realize that it's about what's in here. This is the warehouse, your heart. And what's in here, well, then if what's in here is healthy, then what's out there is going to be healthy. We don't want to be somebody who has a bragamony. We want to have a testimony about who we are. Young or old, new in the faith, just starting out, or we have a lot of years invested in Christ. We want to be people who have more in the warehouse, more in the heart with God. And we want to model that for other people. There was a man who, as a young boy, worked with his father in a factory. And each day they had a routine. They would stop at their local store and Dad would get two breakfast sandwiches and the paper. Well, by accident one day, Dad took two papers and he got all the way. And it was about a 35-minute drive all the way to work from the store. And so they got all the way to the factory store and they realized that they got two papers. And so the father thought, well, you know what? Tomorrow I'll just go give them double for the papers. And his son was like, well, why don't you just hold on to it? We go there every day anyway. And the father realized that this was a teaching moment. He said, you know what, son? We're going to get back in our car. And they got back in their car, and they drove another 35 minutes back to the store. And he went up to the counter, and he said, here's the paper, sir. And the guy was like, well, just blown away by it, because the paper was like, it was like 35 cents, whatever it was. And he realized that this was important. And the son always remembered that story. Because the father said to his son, I don't want that man to think there is a shred of dishonesty in me. I don't care if it's a newspaper or if he put an extra bagel. I could tell you, if I got an extra bagel years ago in my paper bag, I would be tempted to keep it. But by good thing, I don't eat bagels anymore. But the point is we're constantly modeling integrity before other people, our children, our coworkers, our friends, our family. Yeah, certainly you could keep the extra paper. But there's a lesson in that. Integrity needs to be important to us because that validates our character, and that in turn validates us to other people. People want to trust you. You know, the other day, one of my neighbors who I became good friends with over the years through shoveling for him, his alarm was going off and he was out of town. I was driving up to the paint store to go pick up some paint and I heard it going off. So I called him. I said, you know, I checked the perimeter of your house. Everything seems secure, but your alarm is going off. And he said to me, well, nobody's home right now. He goes, let me call you back. He reached out to his son. His son was at work. He says, let me give you the code and go in. And he says, I want you to know I don't give this code out to anybody. And so I said, okay, you know, no problem. He gave it to me. I went in there and I disarmed everything and I came out. And then he called me back about an hour later and he was so appreciative of it and so thankful. Now, what if I was known in the community as kind of Scoundrel Ray? And I mean, think about that, seriously. Like, what if my reputation to this man, he wouldn't give me his code, I'd rob him, he would think. But he trusted me with his code. And it reminded me of the importance of, you know, listen, no, there's no perfect person. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the means. I argue with my wife, and I yell at my kids, and I have weak moments, and everybody does. Listen, but we should focus on integrity, because you know what? People need people to trust. Again, if we're going to model hope to people, if we're going to model hope to people, then we need to be people of integrity. Next is generosity. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Nothing explains and represents Christ. We talk about having an application of the things of Jesus Christ in life. I mean, after all, you come to church, it would be a waste if all we did was give you information and there was no encouragement for transformation. You want transformation? Be generous. Because Christ has been generous to us. And one of the great ways that we inspire hope in a world that's completely self-absorbed and caught up in itself is that we are a generous people. Proverbs 3:27 says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is within your power to help them. There are things that are within our power, within our fingertips, that we could do for others. And this is the good that Peter is talking about. This is what it means to be zealous for what is good. A zeal for pursuing God and a zeal for representing God. And if we're going to represent God, that doesn't mean we put on a cape or a cloak and we walk around barefoot. No, we represent the qualities of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the model of integrity. Jesus Christ is the model of generosity. It doesn't get any greater than him. There's no other human being that models it greater than him. There are people we can look to, maybe a grandfather, a grandmother, a parent, a friend, a leader in the church that you know, is striving for these things, as we all should. But this is the good that Peter talks about. Because when you do these things, let people throw things at you. Let them try to slander you. Your character is what stands the test. And when people do that, you know, people could try to say all they want about you, but if this is your character, this is your character. You know, people talk a big game. If I had a dime throughout the 14 years of doing this, that every time somebody promised they were going to do something, okay, we would have moved the church and started a beach church in Hawaii by now, okay? I mean, it's just crazy the things that people want. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. And that just reveals a weakness in character. Generosity is action. Generosity is let me take the flight and do what I need to do. Flip it over your notes. Here's another area that we need to be mindful of. Selflessness. We want to be a selfless people. We want to be people who are selfless. It's not about us. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 5 says this, "Do not be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too." You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. This is the focus that we need to have. And when we live like this and we operate this way, we are showing to people the hope that is truly within us. We're building up a reputation. The great financial empire of Warren Buffett lives by this creed. If it takes 20 years to build a reputation, Buffett said, but it takes 5 minutes to ruin it. You know, you think about that. If some of you are business owners, you know, you build a, some of you have businesses that have been in your family for years, or you work for a company for years. It takes years to build up a reputation in the community. But it could just take a one day, one bad day of press to ruin that business. The same thing is true with your character. Your character does take a long time to build up, but you can ruin it by taking a selfish step. And so we don't want to do that. And the way to keep our eye on the ball is not to seek to impress others, but to live for the glory of God. And then, of course, there's kindness. Kindness is, without question, the great ointment that you put on the wounds of other people. You know, people have a lot of wounds out there. It's the great medicine. When we are a kind people, that is, sadly enough, the polar opposite of how most people act in this world. I mean, all you got to do is watch, say, like late-night entertainment. Or some of these television shows, they love when there's trouble in somebody else's life. Oh, somebody checked into a clinic. Oh, somebody's getting divorced. You know, the tabloids, they love that stuff. And that feeds the culture. People foam at the mouth of other people's problems. Meanwhile, they got problems under their own roof. How about that? So it's actually, this flies in the opposite direction. So one of the great ways to be a person of hope and having an honorable character is simply to extend the kindness of Christ. Colossians 3:12 says, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." This is what God has called us to be. And these are all representations of Christ. Anybody who has served God or is serving God now that has committed to such qualities is people who have a character that has been a tremendous witness. Now, one of those people in the history of serving in the church, and whether you are a person who has a Catholic background or not, that we could certainly all appreciate the work of Mother Teresa in Calcutta. And one of the great quotes that were found on the wall where she served is about serving anyway. And I thought to read some of it today. And she said this, "People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered." Now, don't point to anybody you came to church with today as I read any of this, by the way, okay? "Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish means, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway." I think it's words to remember. You know, one of my favorite Mother Teresa quotes is, because I love the area of faithfulness, I think that's a paramount teaching in the Scriptures. Mother Teresa once said that, "I don't serve to be successful. I focus on being faithful." And when you start thinking about these things, no matter who it is, This is what we are to model in Christ. We are to be a people who do it anyway. We're not looking for the applause of man. We're not looking for a medal. We're not looking to have a statue put up of us. We are doing these things anyway because we know our character is so important. You may be an introvert. You may never literally open your mouth. Your character actually speaks louder than your words anyway. You want to be a person of good character. It's so important that we conduct ourselves that way. That is God's will for you and I. And to think of it any other way would be silly. Because ultimately, when we have a good character, we are then positioning ourselves now to give an answer when people ask questions. People are going to ask questions. For example, when the church is doing the various outreaches that it does over the course of the year, I could tell you that people ask questions. Why are you doing this? And, you know, oh, well, this is interesting. Why are we able to crack into somebody's heart like that? Because we didn't push our way in. We didn't beat anybody over the head. What has happened is that an act of service, an act of love, of kindness, of selflessness, of generosity, of integrity, what that has done is that has given somebody the opportunity now to drop the skepticism and to ask legitimate questions. And it's so important that we consider the importance of having an honorable character, because your character will always precede your words. And if you're going to rep your faith, we have to be people who have an honorable character. Because then as we have an honorable character, we'll be in position to give an answer now for this hope. And so write this final principle down. Communicate my hope with humility and clarity. I want to now, as I live the life and I have a character that is going to invite people to ask questions of me, good questions, I now want to be a person who is going to communicate what I believe in a clear and humble manner. That is what Peter is going to instruct his listeners here. And he says in verse 15, the second part of it, always being prepared to make a defense, to answer ultimately, to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is within you. You have a hope that is within you. This hope in Jesus Christ. And it's so important that we are modeling it. But as we're modeling it with our character, be prepared that people are going to ask you about that hope. When they see that you have a peace when you're going through a battle and a storm, they're going to want to know about that. When they see that you're living your life in a certain way, they're going to want to know about that. Why? Because you were taking care of your character, and now they have questions. This is not only important for sharing your faith, it's important for your own life. Because we could be a Christian and come to church every week and be very shallow. It's like the man who talked to his pastor. He built his body up. He went to the gym 5 days a week, and he had impeccable eating habits, but he was also incredibly shallow. And so he went to his pastor. He said, I can't meet a good woman. The relationships I have keep falling. See, he was attracted to other beautiful people just like him. And they were very shallow, some even more shallow than himself. And so his pastor put his arm around a young congregant, and he said, listen, keep taking care of your body. Very important. Keep eating good, because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're responsible for your body. But don't neglect your character. Go to the gym. Go to the beach, go to work. Nothing wrong with that, the pastor said. But make sure you are giving proper attention to your heart. Because then what's going to happen is your heart's going to be focused on what it needs to be focused on. And yes, somebody could be beautiful, but they could be hollow on the inside. And when your focus, though, is on the Lord, the pastor was explaining, you're going to find somebody who's beautiful on the inside and on the outside. And ultimately, that needs to be the target of what we're looking at. And I think truly when we are focusing on the inward, on the character, we'll take better care of the body that God gave to us. And ultimately, we will be in better position to explain that which we believe. And so Paul says, Peter rather says, be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within you. What's that hope? That hope is in Jesus Christ. You know, some people think, oh, that hope is, I hope I hit the lotto. I want to pass that on to people. I think I'm going to hit the lotto at some point, so I want to pass that on. It's more than that. It's better than that. You know, I mean, I hope that I find my lost diamond. It's more than that, find the hope diamond, the lost diamond. It's greater than that. It's your hope in Jesus Christ. It's your faith in Christ. And again, we model that by having that character. And then we will be asked by people. Your neighbor's going to ask you about your hope. Your coworker's going to ask you about that hope. Why? Because you had been modeling it. You best represent Christ this way. And then you communicate it with humility. Because look how it goes on to say here by Peter. He says this, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Some people want to beat the Bible down people's throats. Some people think it's cool. Let me be weird for Christ. The Bible doesn't say thou shalt be weird. We talked about that last week, didn't we? You know, what we don't realize is we think it's cool to be weird. That's actually a deterrent to people. God is a God of order. Let's give people clear directions to the cross. Let's explain to them the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Let's not try to we don't need to jazz it up. We don't need to act like that. We don't need to hashtag it out. We need to be people who live it out. That's what God's called to do. But this is how we do it, with gentleness and respect. In other words, with the humility, with the clarity to people. We're not going to talk over people's heads. Let's be people who are delivering the message of hope when people ask us about it. Let's be people who represent Christ in this living hope. And let's not make it about ourselves. Let's not get caught up that way. Let's share this living hope in a very real but yet humble way. Let's never forget to do that. Think of it this way. Imagine you were on a ship going over the Atlantic Ocean, and sadly you went overboard. Sharks are circling you. You're not the best of swimmers, and you're fighting to keep your head above water. And so you get down, you take in a lot of water, you come up again, and you're doing that battle now. And then you go down, and you're going to pop your head up for one last gasp of air because it's over after that. And miraculously, a helicopter appears, and a rope comes down with a ladder. And you grab onto it, and they bring you to safety. They take you to the hospital. They get you cleaned up and fixed up. And then comes a reporter to interview you about this amazing rescue. And then you start off by saying, I'm so glad I have a strong hand. Oh boy, my hand, it grabbed on to that ladder if it wasn't for this hand. But before I even talk about this hand, let me tell you about these eyes. I was underwater and I thought I saw something up there. And then I looked up and there was a helicopter. If I didn't see that helicopter, I would have never been saved. And then the strength in this shoulder, you know, I used to play football. And I had some arm when I was younger. And this arm kept me to safety all the way to the shoreline. That would represent an ingrate right there. But that's how we are sometimes with Christ. He saved us. He threw the rescue ladder down. We were going under. We were sinking. And Jesus Christ rescued us from our sin. He rescued us from hell. Hell is a real place. As I said before, hell is not the BQE on, you know, Monday morning, okay? Hell is a real place. There's a heaven and there is a hell. We must realize that. Jesus Christ came to this earth to deliver us from sin. We've been forgiven. But what a waste it would be if it stopped there. He delivered us from sin, but he delivered us also from death, from hell, from separation from God. He threw the rescue ladder down, and he saved you and I. The story of my salvation and your salvation is that. Period. End of story. And that is the hope that we share with people. You know, I've fished sometimes, or I've been out on the water sometimes, and you look at the beautiful ocean, and you see how beautiful God's creation is. You see how majestic it is. Maybe you've looked up at night, and you've looked at the sky. You see the beautiful hand of God. You look out, even at a church like this, you see so many different nationalities. You see the hand of God. God is a God of incredible creation, and all of that is wonderful and beautiful. But the greatest creation of all is the new creation we are in Christ. And that is the hope that God wants us to communicate to other people. And what we do when we're not living for Christ and we don't have an honorable character is, in essence, what we do is we misrepresent Christ because nobody wants to hear about what Christ has done in our life, because no one's going to want to hear from a hypocrite, plain and simple. But when we are people who are living in a way showing kindness and selflessness and generosity and integrity, when we're living that way and we're having an honorable character, we are bringing tremendous honor to God we are representing our faith in a great way. That when we're given the opportunity, we won't mess it up and say, my hand saved me. We'll talk about the hands of Jesus that saved us. When we're given an opportunity to talk about our hope, we won't brag about how beautiful and buff our body is. We'll talk about the body of Jesus that was bruised and battered for our iniquity. And one day, when we are given the opportunity to a friend, a family member, to talk about the riches that we have in our life, we won't point to our bank account, not that there's anything wrong with any of that, or our possessions. We will talk about the riches of God's grace that He has blessed us with. That is the hope that we as Christians have been given from Almighty God. And when we talk about this entire series of repping our faith, more is caught than taught, my friends. People see the life that we're living. Are we living that life of hope in Christ? Do we have that living hope? Peter says earlier in this same book, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and we'll close here. Let us give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, can we finish this last part with together? Because of His great mercy, He gave us new life by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. This filled us with a living hope. This is the living hope that we have. We don't have a dead hope. We don't have a Johnny-come-lately hope. We don't have a maybe-so, a think-so. We have a no-so. We have a living hope in Jesus Christ. And so then, whatever it is you do in life, hobbies, employment, extracurricular activity, do it with this in mind. I am God's representative. I'm to represent this hope. I'm to represent this living hope by how I live my life and how I answer people. That God has called me to this way. And my friends, I've said it before in this series, the stakes have never been higher in this world to represent God. The stakes have never been higher to represent Christ. That there are people who believe what we believe in other parts of the world that are being crucified upside down for their faith. There are people facing the blade. There are people being burned alive for the faith that they have in Jesus Christ. Just recently, I heard about a young lady who went on a Christian mission to bring aid, who was kidnapped, tortured, and killed. It was said in the story that she was given the opportunity to recant of her faith, and she would have nothing of it. Now, what drives a person to live that way? Because I don't know about you, things in this world, man, they get me down. Sometimes we're ready to throw the towel in. But what drives a person that way? You know what it is? A living hope. That's what it is. That we have a hope beyond any of the garbage that's in this world. That's what we need to communicate and live. So that's why we don't want to be some weirdo, freakish Christian that people go, I don't want nothing to do with that. We want to be somebody who's representing the cross and the message with humility and with respect, with honor and dignity. We represent a king, not a clown. We represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there should be a respect and a humility in how we even conduct those words that we share. Because we have a living hope. We don't have a pretend hope. We don't have a once upon a time hope. We have a hope that is written in eternity that can never be changed. God, before the foundations of the earth, chose you and I, if your faith is in Christ, to have this living hope. Let us represent it. That is God's will for you and I. No matter where we are in this journey, that is what God has called us to do, to represent the living hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, in just a moment, we're going to partake of communion. And as we get ready to switch gears into the fall, next week will be the 15th anniversary of September 11th. And so it is without question a time to remember and to honor, without question to remember and honor those who perished in that tragic day, as well as thank God for those who survived. Many of us, because we live here, were affected by family and friends. And so I invite you next week to be a part of that service and also be thinking about who you might want to invite, as we will have a special message of hope. Also, we'll be approaching the church's anniversary later in the month. And the fall then represents the opportunity as we head towards the Christmas season to always take inventory of our life in Christ. And so whenever we have communion in the beginning of September, I like to think of it as a great opportunity to kind of reset and refocus, much like the beginning of the year is, to reset and refocus on what matters most. And what matters most is your faith in Jesus Christ. And so maybe you've been struggling, and sometimes in the summer our discipline with God slips, whatever it may be. As you approach the communion table, set your heart and your focus on God. Rededicate and refocus your life. Maybe you've had a number of storms or things go on in your life, and you just need that extra encouragement and that extra feel of God's presence in your life. Communion is that, to remember what Christ has done for us on the cross. For those who have placed their faith in Christ, communion is open for. For those who have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, why not today? You've heard the message of the Scriptures. You've heard the message of God's grace. Why not put your faith in Jesus Christ today? If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you believe that Christ raised Him from the dead, we're told very clearly that you will be saved. And so that is the promise of God. And so at this time, I want to invite you, as we reset the dial and refocus our hearts on Christ, just to take a few brief moments in the quietness of our own hearts to focus our thoughts upon God, the living hope in Jesus Christ. And then we will pray and we will partake of communion together. Our Father, our God, we thank You for Your love and Your grace that You've shown to us. We thank You for this living hope that resets our focus. Lord, as we partake of communion today, we remember and we reflect on the love that was poured out on the cross. We thank You, O God. And we remember Your mercy and Your peace that You've given. We thank You, God, for the cross. We thank You for Your hands that bore the nails and Your feet. We thank You, O God, for the blood that was spilled on the cross that covers our sins. We partake of communion today, remembering and reflecting on all that Your love has brought. Well, we pray for this truth to be extended, O God. We commit this. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.